Hello.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. We just had a cookout on the deck.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, hot dogs, corn on the cob, watermelon, potato salad, because it feels like summer.
It is. Yeah, that's fun. So, are you able to see your family more?
Yeah, and we're going up to Portland this weekend. My daughter is a nurse, and she has kind of an unforgiving work schedule. So we're going to babysit for her little 1-year-old on Monday.
Oh, that's
Megan.
Hi, Bill.
When there's Beverly, yeah.
Hey,
Oh,
Beverly. You're muted, Beverly.
You're muted.
Still muted. Your video is good, but you're still muted.
Oh,
There you
there.
go. There you go.
Thank you. Lighting is better, don't you think? You can
Yes,
see.
actually, that works much better. When you were in your office on the last meeting, it was very shadowy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Now, you may want to lower your, you may want to angle
Yeah.
your iPad a little bit, and then move in a little closer too.
Okay, so I got this stand. I have to see if I can maneuver it. Let's see. That's better, maybe.
Yeah, that is better. You're more centered. And if you bring it
Okay.
closer, if you bring it closer,
I'm finally professionally appropriate for
yeah.
Zoom. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are
Yes.
you?
I think, was I on mute?
No, you're good.
You heard me?
Well, I just, maybe I missed something. I don't know.
I heard you.
Oh, okay. Because the little gadget up there says mute.
No, you don't want to touch that. I think you just muted
You
yourself.
just muted yourself. If it turns red, Sam, then you're muted. Click it again. There you go.
You're good.
Now you can hear me.
Yes.
So
I'm usually heard without a problem.
Sam, are you just back from Palm Springs?
You did?
No, I was wondering if you're just back.
Oh, we haven't been for 2 years.
Oh.
Until the pandemic's over, I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
And we're fully vaccinated and everything, but I just feel safe here in Little Ashland and my little cocoon, and I'm not going to leave and go anywhere.
We're vaccinated and we're feeling like we're coming out of COVID hibernation.
Yeah, we are. We've eaten out a couple of times, and we're actually going to the Oregon Gardens with friends in June for 3 days. So, that'll be our. I haven't seen anybody in my family for over a year.
Wow. I know, me
And,
either.
you know, I hate it, but better safe than sorry.
Yeah, we've been seeing children and grandchildren, but most of them are vaccinated now.
Yeah.
Are they in the area, Bill?
Well, we have some in the area, and some in Portland and some in the Bay Area.
Oh, so not too far.
Yeah, so we're traveling this weekend to do a little babysitting on Monday.
Oh, good.
Keep trying to get this dumb thing so it doesn't cut my face in half.
You're almost there.
I tried to buy a new monitor with a built-in camera. You know, all laptops have cameras now.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find a mon, you know, at the office, I probably should use that. I have a laptop, but at home, you know, we have a, whatever you call it, tower. And it's a lot more powerful computer, but I couldn't find a monitor. I mean, I went on Amazon, I went a couple places, and couldn't find a monitor that had a camera.
If you get an Apple, you would have one built in.
Do you have one?
Yeah, but it's an Apple.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're all built, the sound and everything is built into the, you know, the Apple monitors. But you'd have to switch completely. You couldn't just plug it into your existing tower.
Okay, well.
I don't think.
Doctor Networking's already gotten a lot of my money this year, so I don't want them to have any more of it.
Well, we got a message from Piper that she was trying to get her second vaccine. And we know Keith isn't going to be here, but I don't think we've heard from anyone else. Have we, Regan? Okay.
Well, Dale should be here.
I would expect him to. So we need at least a couple more people before we can start officially.
We need four or five? Four,
five.
Five, okay.
Regan, how are you and your family doing?
We're good. Yeah. Yeah. I just had to chase my oldest out for baseball practice. So.
Oh, brother.
Luckily, he got a ride tonight. So.
Are they in-person classes?
Yeah, he's back. He's back in middle school full time, riding the bus and everything. So, and I've never seen him happier. I mean, he's been. He was really sad. So it's a nice change. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
While we're waiting, Regan.
Yep.
Can I ask you the one for the historic awards?
Mm-hmm.
The property on 147 Central that Dale and I wrote about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best picture? That because see, it shows the addition is completely obscured by. And you may have already put this through in printing, so I don't want to mess up anything.
I can take a look and see. Is it 147 Central?
Yes. Yeah. And the one that shows up in the packet, you can't see much of the addition.
Yeah, so I took the photos, and it was hard to get a good angle.
Was it?
Yeah, with all the parked cars and trees. And
we did, because you and I were together when we did this, weren't we?
So anyway, there's one picture that focuses on the addition, but there's one picture that kind of encompasses the whole house and the addition.
Is it the one in the back, Bill?
The fence? The back is the addition.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it was hard. They have a high fence, so it's hard to get a shot of that. But I got several from across the street.
Any of them? This was really the best one to show the addition.
I don't know. I haven't seen what's in the packets. I don't know.
Well, I think I took a couple pictures too, and. Well, the question is, Regan, is this ready to print, basically?
No, I mean, I can switch it out.
Because Bill and I can talk afterwards and exchange information on our photos.
Mm-hmm.
You want us to do so that we...
The only thing is that I already put the pictures, I printed them, I printed the, I already placed an order with Pronto Print.
Okay.
And they sent me the pictures for the certificates, but there is the one that Bill took from the backside of the house.
Oh.
It's in there for Carrie. Okay. I just didn't put that in the packet, but I can switch that out.
Well, whatever you think shows the addition best, really.
Okay.
I trust your judgment, and I don't want to mess anything up this late in the game.
No, I can take a look.
So to be clear, This is 147 Central, Carrie's project, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And from the front, there's one that does show mostly the addition, but there's another photo that shows the main house and the addition. I think one of the features that Carrie did very well is the trim details and the paint are pretty phenomenal. And I'm not sure which picture is in there, but I think several of the pictures really show that paint and trim details very well.
Well,
if I may interrupt. Can I?
Okay. Of course.
Oh, you can. Okay, there's a circle around my head. Sorry I'm late. I've been sitting here 15 minutes. I thought my computer was on, but it wanted to restart, and I had a new hard drive, and it used to start like almost instantly, and this took 10 minutes. So that's why I'm late. So it looks like we're missing.
Yeah, we need one more person to start the meeting. Piper emailed and said she was getting her second vaccine at Walgreens and she was trying to make it back. And then I haven't heard from, Terry sent us some photos today, but he didn't say anything about not being here. Keith had already told us a while ago he wasn't going to be here tonight. So we need Terry or Piper to have the meeting.
And Piper may show up late, but she's getting her vaccine.
Could we, can we open the meeting even though we're not, don't have a, okay. No. Can we look at the photos that Terry sent?
I think that's probably, I don't think we should.
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry. Yeah.
So I want to thank Maria for drafting the city council memorandum last night that I presented showing what the historic commission's been up to for the last year. It was beautifully written, so thank you. It was great.
You did a great job presenting it, Dale.
Pardon me?
You did a great job presenting it. I thought I was getting nervous because they were so impatient for to pull you into the meeting. I was like, wait a minute, he's going to be here.
My name didn't show up. All those random letters were.
That was odd.
Now, that wasn't mentioned at the last meeting, was it? That you would be making a presentation?
Yeah.
It was? It's in the minutes?
I don't know if it's in the minutes, but I know.
I think it's in the minutes.
It is?
I think so.
I guess I look. But anyway, you were invited by the council then?
Every commission.
Oh,
the presentation before the council to show what they've been doing.
I can't hear you again, Dale. Sorry.
It was last night. Is my voice not loud enough?
It's still very soft, like last time.
Is that true for everybody else?
Yeah, it's very, your voice is very weak. Is there a way you can turn up the volume?
My volume's all the way up on my computer. And is there a place on the Zoom?
Yeah, if you go up to the microphone and that arrow up menu, I think you can adjust your speakers there.
I don't show a microphone either. I show a mute.
Yeah, that's the same thing. If you go to the right, isn't there a little arrow that if you click on it, it gives you a menu?
Make it wider and see if that helps.
Click on the up arrow next to the microphone, Dale.
I have a microphone. I have a mute.
The mute. So there's an up arrow next to the mute. Click on that and a box will pop up.
No, not on my Apple. I don't know if that makes a difference.
So you're muted now, Dale.
How do you know I was talking? So I can talk a little louder. Last time, I think that everybody else turned their volume up. I don't know if that would help.
But I can, it's better.
Okay.
So can we, I think it would be helpful to have, is Maria planning, Maria, are you planning to include it in the packet for next time?
What are you talking about?
The statement that you presented to the council.
Oh, sure, we can do that.
Yeah, that seems important because we're talking about the whole commission's work, right? That you wrote about?
Yeah.
So the, in the minutes, Beverly?
That, yeah, I'm looking at
it. It's not in the, it wouldn't be in the April minutes. It would be in the March minutes.
Oh.
Because that's when they decided what they were going
right.
to do.
That's right. Because I think that when Dale just said it was part of the historic preservation, I did remember that. So, yes, I think it would be important part because it's defining our work. If I understand what Dale said, it's describing what we did the last year, right?
Right.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. I thought I heard a kitty in the background.
Yeah, that's mine. He's I'm sitting outside and they're not outdoor cats. Is it really annoying? It really is annoying to me. I'll go... shut the door.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I like it actually.
Oh well, to me it sounds they sound unhappy.
Order here, please.
What's up? We don't even have a meeting yet, though.
Yeah, we can now.
Thank you.
Oh. Piper's there.
Okay,
well, Piper. Nice to see you.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Okay, at this time I'll open the meeting. I want to make an announcement just for myself because I have self-interest here and that it's my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You want us to sing?
Happy birthday.
No. The only reason I'm saying is that we're going to go out to dinner at 7:30 and I'd like to be gone by that time.
So we'd all like that.
We'd all like that.
Let's shoot for 7. Okay. So approval of minutes. For our electronic meeting, April 7th, 2021. So I have a motion.
Read them and I will move to accept.
I can second that.
Piper second. All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Aye. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Opposed? Okay, that was unanimous. Next on the agenda is public forum. Do we have guests? Do we have, I see that there's 9 participants. Are those the applicants for the planning?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you saw that Sean Moran is not here, had to travel, and so he's not here. So we have no council report. So we'll move on to planning action review. We looked at 912 Siskiyou Boulevard, a request for a site design review approval for an existing change, exterior change to the individually listed historic structure on the National Register of Historic Places for an addition and a second rental unit, residential unit. The proposal includes a large addition to the rear of the structure, a new master suite, as well as construction of 2-car garage with a second dwelling above. The application includes a request to remove 2 trees, 35-inch cedar, and a 10-inch Japanese maple. Has anybody had since our last meeting any conflict of interest or ex parte communications? Okay, no. Hearing none. So we looked at this last month, and we asked for quite a few more details, especially on the front railing of the second level. And we did get a drawing. Maria, would you like to give a staff report or an abbreviated staff report and have any changes that
might... Sure. So I sent an email out this afternoon. The applicant contacted staff today and let us know that they were withdrawing the request to modify the rail on the front of the building. So when they come in, perhaps they can talk about that. So my understanding is that piece of the proposal has gone away.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did ask for clarification about what was being changed on the original house. And the answer was we continued to request the addition, which is on the rear of the house, and the other listed modifications for the original house: removal of French door and two windows from the 1970s addition. I believe that's in reference, this is my words now, to the east elevation. And then it says removal of one upstairs door to a balcony on the back of the house and conversion of one door to balcony back of a house to a window. So I wasn't sure if the changes on the rear were talked about last time, but that's my understanding of what's being changed on the original or on the structure that's there now. And they did change the site plan. They are showing one parking space. I can show you this. One of the concerns the commissions raised last time was situating parking to the front, the front of the house. They have removed one. Can you see my screen okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they've removed one parking space. They're still showing one here. And then they have, of course, the two in the garage. They reduced the size of the second unit so that it qualifies as an accessory residential unit. And therefore, they don't need any parking for that. I'm not sure why they're showing this parking space, because these two would satisfy the requirements. And other than that, I think that is it. I have the photos that Terry sent of the original house, if the commission wants to look at those.
So would, in terms of the changes that were emailed to us, which I didn't get to see, you mentioned that one of the bedrooms upstairs was changing a door to a window.
I think it says balcony. It says, we continue to list the other listed modifications for the original house: removal of French door and two windows from 1970s addition. I think that's on the east elevation. And then removal of one upstairs door to a balcony on the back of the house. And I think it's converting that to a window. I don't see that on the elevations.
I think they've modified the roof planes in such a way that there is no balcony anymore. And so it's necessary to change that to a window.
Do they show an existing elevation?
I don't believe so.
So maybe they could explain where that is.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's frustrating, is often we don't get existing elevations to compare with the remodeled or revised elevations.
Right, which is a requirement, is it not, Maria? I think it's a building requirement.
Oh, so on page 2 of 7, it does show those windows. I didn't pick it up on the elevation sheet, but on the southwest elevation at the top of page 2, you pick up those windows. And it's necessary for what they're doing. And because it's on the rear of the house, it doesn't really matter.
That's here. Bill, can you see?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe that other change with the French door was in this area. on the east elevation.
And so this is what it's going to look like, and what did it look like?
And this is what it is proposed, is my understanding.
Those two French doors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if you look at the floor plan, it's in this area here. So we did include the recommendation from the last meeting in the packet, so you have that for reference.
I'm sorry, what is the recommendation?
From the last meeting, the Historic Commission's recommendation is included in your packet.
Right. But it didn't reference those doors then.
Well, I believe they talked about the changes to the east elevation at the last meeting.
Okay.
I didn't recall the changes to the rear specifically, but they did talk in detail about taking off the old part of the house from the 1970s and doing a new addition.
So I'm just trying to, I'm looking at the two plans and looking at the northeast elevation, and I do see the current plans don't have a couple of French doors. I don't know if that's where that kitchen is. I assume that's the kitchen. No, that's a... dining room, I guess. So, are you clear what? I guess I'm still back to the French doors. The French doors look like they're coming out of the dining room. Is that what's referenced?
It doesn't say. I think you're going to have to ask the applicant.
Right, that room is not labeled.
Right. But there is a little window. Okay, well, we'll have to find out because we don't have a before and after, and it didn't look like it changed from this time. So, okay. So a door to a window in that upstairs bedroom, and that accommodates the roof over the new addition. Is that clear to you, Bill?
Yeah, that's what I see. And I see it as necessary and an improvement.
Okay. And I do see that they changed the pitch to 6 and 12. I'm not sure why they did that. They may have had that last time, too. On the southwest elevation, it shows a pitch change to 6 and 12 instead of 4 and 12. But again, it's probably not a big deal. You see that, Bill?
I see 4 and 12. Looking at the roof plan, everything I see is 4 and 12. Are you looking at the... I'm looking at the addition to the back of the house, not the ADU. Are you talking about the ADU?
No, the southwest elevation, where the doors were got replaced with windows in a bedroom.
Okay, I'm looking at the roof plan, and in the roof plan on page 2, at the lower right corner, all of the pitches are listed as 4 and 12.
Well, there's some pitches that are missing there at the upper corner. If you look at the elevation, it's pretty easy to see where the 6 and 12 is. The southwest elevation above the roof plan.
Okay, I do see that. Yeah. So that doesn't show on the roof plan itself, but I think the 6 and 12 pitch is not a problem.
Yeah, as long as the eaves and overhangs are the same, start in the same place.
Right.
Okay, that sounds fine. Other questions or?
So I think the biggest thing is they've decided not to change that railing, the mezzanine railing or balcony railing on the front of the house.
Right.
And for me, that largely negates any objection I would have.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mixed details on the different plans. And they're really not very clear details in terms of how they're.
Yeah. Really- well, you had asked for large scale details, and there are none basically.
Yeah. Well, they did add one, but not much. But as long as they're not changing it, that's even better, and it's a moot point at this juncture. Okay. Any other clarifications? I did notice that on the northeast elevation, everybody can see that the addition, the upstairs and downstairs windows. The downstairs ones are in the garage. The upstairs ones are in the what used to be a bedroom that will eventually probably be a bedroom, but they were separated and they moved them together. And I think that looks much more compatible and historic than, so right. I like that change.
Yeah, and the upstairs windows are a little bit out of proportion, but if you're using a single hung or a double hung, you need to have that size for egress.
Uh-huh.
However,
I'm wondering
that won't meet code because of the new fall regulations. You know, the sill height and danger of fall. So it seems like they would have to change those so that they're a little bit higher off the floor and. So that would probably mean changing them to casement windows to get the egress.
What's that code? What distance off the floor?
Well, it used to be that on a second story window, you could have a 24-inch sill. But now the code reads that you need to have a 36-inch high off the floor sill. And those windows wouldn't do it.
Wow, that is a major difference.
Yeah, well, you can still have the window, but you have to provide fall protection for it. And when you provide the fall protection, you lose egress.
Losing the fall protection, the mullions on a double hung between the two of them?
Pardon?
Isn't the mullion, the frame of the windows on a double hung, act as a rail, a safety rail in an opening?
No, it's if that window can open fully, typically if you have a single hung window or a double hung window, you have to restrict the opening to 4 inches and then you don't get egress. But this, we're going off in the weeds here. I mean, that's a problem that they'll have to solve.
Okay. The windows used to be the same size in the upper or very close to the same size in the garage and in the upper floor apartment. And I think that would look better again to match them.
Well, they're probably going to have to do that anyway or something similar because they're going to have to go with a casement.
Okay.
Likely have to go with the casement and the 36-inch sill height. So it would make sense to make them the same size as long as they're wide enough for egress.
So at 36 inches, that's a tiny window then. They're obviously getting a lot smaller.
So I think that allows you like a 42-inch window.
Yeah. Okay. I guess code dictates there. All right. Any other questions before we ask the applicants open the public hearing? Okay, at this time we'll open the public part of the hearing and invite the applicants to join.
So I think we can hear you, but not see you yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't see myself or you, Kimber.
I hear you, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you know what? I think it's my fault. Sorry about that.
I'm seeing something, so interesting.
There we go.
I'm here, Kimber Bishop, as David Johnson.
Welcome, Kimber. Is Bob coming on also?
I'm here. I just see no video.
It says ask to start video, like your video is turned off.
Really? Okay.
Within the Zoom, Bob, there, can you click on your camera? There you are. Voila. Okay.
Voila.
There you go. Welcome.
Oh, good evening. I heard there's a birthday party to be gotten to. So we will try to be efficient. I also heard last time that often that we were a little untraditional last time, that normally you have more of a presentation. So I had a little more to start with, but given that there's a birthday party to get to, I'll be brief. And just say that, you know, we've owned a home in Ashland since 2008. That's really been a vacation getaway. In 2016, we had decided that Ashland was probably a good place for our forever home. And we found and purchased the George Tavner house. I reached out to Bob Carroll, who is, well-trained, highly experienced architect who had previously worked on a Frank Clark house and with whom we had an existing relationship because we'd already done two houses with him. So I was very excited that he took on the challenge of maintaining the integrity of the original design, minimizing the 1970s addition, adding a master suite space consistent with modern life, and complying with Ashland's building codes and rules, which altogether was kind of a big order. And I think he did a great job. When we last met, the commissioners asked to have a continuance so we could address a few items. And we'd like to address each of the five that were documented in the minutes. The first one was about the elevations and whether they showed the architectural features of the existing house that would be retained and modified. As you can see, Bob has redone the drawings and they now include the architectural details that we discussed, specifically the front door side lights, the bay window, the windows in the turret are now accurate. So those details are now all there. There were some questions about what the changes are. So we can do this a couple of ways, and maybe Maria would like to bring up the drawings again, but there are two main floor, I'm reading this from the initial submission of the request. Two main floor windows toward the rear or south portion of the house are being removed as they were part of the aforementioned 70s addition. The openings will be filled and finished to match the existing home.
Can you tell us what elevation those show on?
Rear or south portion. I'm not sure which.
Southwest would be what it would be labeled as. Because it's completely buried pretty much.
So just to clarify, on the left-hand side of the southwest elevation, there were two windows, two of three windows. Those two have gone away, and that's where the sinks are for the master bedroom bath.
Yes, there are currently three, and two of them, the two that are facing to the rear, are the two that would be filled in.
Then going to the right of that, you show the three little windows, and then what's the shingled area between two of those three small windows?
The three small windows are part of the addition, and what looks to be a shingled area is actually where there will be a fireplace. Can you speak to that, Bob?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring that up here. So, you know, we have that, obviously there was the existing fireplace, which is being torn out. The new master bedroom, of course, wall is going to be substantially away from the main part of the house versus that addition. So, you know, in wanting this fireplace there, we have to put, you know, try and match some of the siding or the existing shingle work with it. I've suggested a shingle pattern there based on what we kind of see as a pattern throughout, where there is a mixture of shingle and siding. Siding would be fine for me, but it's just that small bump out for the for that small fireplace, and so we could use a shingle. It's not going to be a you know, masonry chimney or anything like that, or a wood burning.
And that shows on the plan on page 3. You can see the chimney chase pretty clearly.
Yes.
So there aren't any dimensions, but I guess it's 2 feet out. Is that the same as the eaves then? Does it come up to
behind? Yes, the eave is a little over 2 feet, so it would come up underneath of it, and just like the fascia board would then be covering the trim.
All right, thank you for that.
If you could leave this particular page up.
Yeah, that would be great to clarify the French doors.
Yeah, the next thing is on the east side of the home is the pergola. Two sets of French doors access the patio there. So if you look on the left upper corner, you can see where the pergola is and that there are two sets of French doors that go out to it, one from the dining room and one from the long room that's the addition.
And see, she's those? Speaking of the main floor demolition plan. You'll see where we dash in elements to be removed, and those French doors that are existing from the 70s addition, that's correct, would be removed. They don't match any door in the existing house at all. It was, again, that was a 70s addition, and they look like they're 1970s French doors.
Okay. And functionally, I don't understand the need for two French doors into a fairly small pergola area.
It also is in the kitchen where you need more space, I'm sure.
Yeah. So.
Okay, thanks for the verification.
Great. And then the other, I think Mr. Emery was absolutely spot on in his description about the other two. The master addition include the following changes to the rear or south side of the home. Two single doors access an existing balcony on the upper floor. The balcony and doors will be removed as a great portion is in conflict with the original design and the addition. One door will be replaced with a window matching the flavor of the home, and the other will be framed in and covered by the new roof.
So
those are the changes to the existing house.
Okay, what elevation does that show?
The southwest elevation.
Right there.
Okay, the two little windows that are showing, because we don't know what it looks like now.
The one that is on the left is currently a door and will be filled in with a window. The one you're showing in the middle That's the window that's currently there.
The right
and it
middle.
Remains. No change.
And then centered under that upper rear gable where that vent is, straight down below that was a door coming out to a balcony. And now with a massive amount of roof covering it, we're simply going to fill that in.
Dale made an interesting point. I was looking at the roof plan, and they all of the pitches are shown as 4 and 12, but on the southwest elevation, it appears as if some of the pitches are steeper. Is that correct?
Well, all of the pitches, if we look at the roof plan, kind of down there, let me bring it up on my computer because I actually don't have that up here for you.
If you look at the southwest elevation, it shows a different pitch.
Oh, Dale, that's it's probably the same pitch. It's just that it's a 45-degree transition. It's not a right angle. So if you look at the plan, that becomes obvious. It appears as if the roof plan is correct with all 4 and 12 pitches.
Well, if that was true, then you'd have a 45-degree valley, and you don't there.
So hang on, I'm going to try and bring that up here.
I see on the roof plan, it doesn't show a 45 valley. So that does indicate a steeper pitch.
Somewhere last time I thought I saw it, it said 6 and 4.
I think what's confusing is that the two roof planes at the top of the elevation are not labeled as to pitch.
Hang on one second here before I get this up on my screen. I can't zoom in with what you've got. If I bring my drawing up, then I can zoom in and then I can explain a little bit better. So my apologies for the delay.
Well, I think it's almost immaterial. I don't think it's a big factor here.
And so while I'm bringing that up on the screen, though, that does bring to mind a comment that Dale had mentioned about the windows on the front. So, and specifically over on the addition, let's talk about the egress factor for a minute. So you are correct in noting, Bill, that the egress limits have changed, you know, and I think to a detriment architecturally. It very much limits what you can do in a design. However, there is an out here. What we can do is specify that it is the upper panel that opens for egress, not the lower panel, and therefore, because the bottom of the opening is still well above the floor, you know, as long as the bottom of the opening is no greater than 44 inches off the floor, which is the maximum height for an egressable opening, then we can get by with that because the bottom panel would be fixed.
Yeah, well, that means you have to hold the window really low.
Well, in a 6-foot window with a 6'8" header, it's already low. 8 inches from the floor. And so, yeah, you have to temper that panel. Yeah. But that's at least an acceptable solution versus putting up ugly windows that I think would destroy the architectural integrity of the home.
Yeah, my preference would be to have windows that were similar in size to the windows on the story below and make them casement windows to get the egress. But that's just my preference. I wouldn't impose that preference on anyone.
Bob, do you see, is there any reason why those, the upper and the lower windows were changed? They used to be about equal size, now they're...
The lower windows are kind of just more of a base. I had to upsize the upper windows for egress, but bear in mind that as per the current design, it's scheduled to be labeled as storage and there won't be a bedroom there until sometime later. So, you know, now the question is, you know, how do we make this work, you know, for the present and the future? And so I think if we made those bottom windows about the same size, proportionally width to length, they match the proportions of the existing home. And that's the main thing you do is if the width and length are the same proportion. I think we have existing 2.0, they're not quite 2.050, they're 2.04 and a half. You know, these windows were built much differently than manufactured spec built windows are today. Of course, we do have the advantage of specifying any size we want. And I think that would be an acceptable thing if they were wider and longer, you know, to bring a little bit more light in the garage anyway. So I'll defer that back to you to see if that's an acceptable solution. But I think as long as we maintain the proportions of height to width ratio on the existing home, then I think we've done the correct service here.
Yeah, and I would say that if by keeping the upper ones and the lower ones more equal for that size of building makes sense. They just, you know, kind of are a vertical element of stacked windows. And when you had them in your elevation last time, they were similar size, and I think they look better similar rather than...
Yeah, and I think that's an easy thing for us to do, Dale, and I would agree with that. I would simply make them the same size.
Okay, that sounds good. Getting back to the roof, whether it's 6 and 12 or 4 and 12, as Bill said, it's kind of a moot point, but it is showing 6 and 12 on that elevation.
I had to have copied it from somewhere else. I know that part of the existing upper roof, like above the, in between the mansard areas and the Dutch gambrels, there are some existing 6-12 pitch roofs. Part of my mistake last time really was, and in the initial phase of it, was really going off the original Frank C. Clark plans and not knowing what you should know about every single house, almost every single house ever built. The plans rarely match what was actually built. And so when we had windows that were not shown correctly on the turret, the original Frank C. Clark design had the windows located where I showed them originally, going by his original design. And we should have measured and verified those because they obviously were not put where he had them originally.
I have to say, I empathize. I've run into that problem before.
Yeah, that's, and again, he designed everything, I think, to exact scale and proportion the way it should be, and that they changed it when they built it. It's a little bit disturbing, but it happens today, and it happened 100 years ago, such is life.
Okay,
if we move on, the next thing that was on your, that was in the minutes, was regarding the front entry railing above the on the porch that's above the front entry. As Maria shared with you, we have made the decision that we will not request any change to that, and instead we will rely on the waiver for historical to keep it as is.
I think that's a good decision. I like that.
With repairing any rot and stuff, but you know, so it's going to match the exact style, the exact, yeah, you know, everything else. But yeah,
we have to do some repairs, but yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Good. The next item was on regarding vinyl windows. And as we agreed in the last meeting that we will use all wood windows, I believe that's been changed and noted. I did request...
Yes, we did eliminate the vinyl window note, and I suggested, as we talked about, there are some windows that can be rebuilt, you know, if we can find the right supplier. But also, I think it was, because I've only met you all once, I can't remember your names off the top of my head, but I think it was, okay, not Bill, but the gentleman with the elegant mustache right below him, I think suggested that Marvin Windows is a pretty good envoy to use here as well for the windows in the new edition. You know, I think that would be a fine. So because for some reason it's not, your name is not showing up on mine. I see myself, then I see Maria, then I see Bill. Again, a very distinguished gentleman with a very fine mustache there. I can't remember your name. My apologies, but you made the suggestion about Marvin Windows last time, and I think that's a reasonable thing to do.
I think I made the suggestion about Marvin.
You might have. Maybe I get the two of you confused, you know.
So Marvin not only makes good windows that are historically accurate, they also make sash replacements. So in the event that you don't restore windows, a Marvin sash replacement keeps the original window frame but puts modern glass in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Versus the single pane that was prevalent back in the 1900s.
Bob, does that mean that all the windows in the, any replacement windows in the Frank Clark house and the addition will be wood or clad wood windows?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Although, as I said last time, I don't really have an intention to replace windows unless I absolutely have to. I had all original windows in my 1850s house.
Yeah, and I think that's a good choice.
Yeah. My husband would prefer more R value, but I tend to hang drapes. So. Then. The next thing on the list was match 4-inch exposure of existing siding with new siding. Consider 1/2-inch thick cement board siding on new rear addition, so we'll match the depth of the existing clapboard siding. We will be matching the 4-inch exposure on the new construction. And we take the recommendation about the cement board. There's some current problems in supply chain, as you, I hope, are all aware. And so committing to any particular material, it makes me uncomfortable at the moment. But certainly we're going to do the 4-inch exposure. And of course, we want it to look nice.
On the southeast elevation, we added the note to match the existing exposure with a concrete composition horizontal siding. So we know that we're going to match the exposure. We're just going to try our best to get the correct thickness. CertainTeed has a 3/8-inch and a 1/2-inch thick concrete composite siding, which would be great. It's much easier to work with than the really, you know, the thin 1/4-inch flimsy stuff that we're all too aware of. And I'd prefer it slightly thicker anyway. But Behring Supplies, we're hoping that that's what's going to be available.
So, Bob, just to clarify that, I think that's great. The exposure is very important, and if you were to use the 1/4-inch product on the new addition, that would be fine. Ideally, the 1/2-inch to match the existing siding on the west elevation, as you wrap around the corner, it's awfully important that they do have the same thickness. And you just mentioned that, you know, a couple of companies do make that material. We mentioned an example of it on Oak Street in Ashland. And so I think that that's paramount that you use that material on the Frank Clark building. That sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay. And then the fifth item, I think we've pretty much already talked about, which was regarding the windows. In the addition?
Yes.
Yeah, the windows on that street elevation?
On the northeast elevation.
Right.
So top and bottom, they will match.
Okay, that sounds great.
So I believe that those were all of the items that were recorded in the minutes then, and that we have attempted to address them. And if you have any other questions that either Bob and I can answer, let us know.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, hi. My internet wasn't working.
Okay. Does anybody have any further clarification with the applicants?
I think the clarifications have been very good. I think we've covered all of the topics that I've had concerns about.
Okay. So thank you. Thank you for your responses. I think that you have answered most of the questions, and we'll close the public part of the meeting and head toward a decision. So thank you for your thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So we'll close the public part of the hearing and discussion.
Well, I think they've come a long way in a month, and that they're basically preserving the original Frank Clark House. I'm not as concerned about the additions. I think additions should look like additions. They should not, you should be able to tell what's old and what's new. I think they've come a long way.
I think the biggest part is keeping the original balcony in front, the height. I think that's a plus. So what I saw, you know, I missed part of it, but I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, my biggest concern was the balcony in the front, and with them retaining the original railing, I really don't have any objections otherwise.
Okay. I would just like to make a comment about the areas discussed and they've responded to. And when Maria, when you wrote the beautifully described details that we all talked about and how they relate to the code issues, I think is very helpful, but there is one area that we often come up against, and all three of the on the second page, like for instance, replacement windows in a historic building shall match the original windows. Windows in the new additions shall be compatible in proportion, shape, size, but not replicate the original windows in the historic building, and that's. Something that is left up to local jurisdiction. And so if there's an addition, excuse me, let me think about this. That it says not to replicate, but we've been fine with replicating. We often have compatible ARUs and people really match all the details. And some of the state or national requirements are that they should be different so you can distinguish between the new and the old. But our tradition here in Ashland has been to try to match those details as closely as possible. So when we see not replicate, we don't want to encourage applicants to not replicate. We would love to see them replicated.
I agree.
If you go, I've been traveling to Portland a lot lately, and you know, in Portland they do it differently. They abide more by the national standards. And when you look at an addition in Portland, it could look very different from the original building, but compatible in scope and scale and proportions and so on. And I think occasionally we see that here in Ashland, like the project on Union Street, Fairfield, or that got the award. It's a modern structure, but it pays homage to our historic districts. It's compatible. And for me, I think that's probably more desirable than simply matching or
In this case, when we're talking about a Frank Clark house, to add the additions that they're creating, and not replicate the windows, I think would be not in our interest. At least that's what it's been, what I'm asking for quite some time. So just to clarify that point. Any other discussion or comments or motion?
I had a question about the parking. What would resolve the mat on the front?
Yeah, we didn't actually address that. They did show it in the site plan, but it's not required. Last time we all suggested that all the parking be eliminated in the front. They only require two spaces. The way it's angled into the driveway, you have to back into the Siskiyou Boulevard, which is pretty awkward. So I'm not sure it's workable anyway. It's not easy to get out of the garage and turn around and get back into Siskiyou in a forward position anyway from the back spaces. But so do we want to ask the applicants about that, or is that something that planning will not require? If it's not required, can they include it?
That's a good question. I think we'll have to look into that. There actually is a maximum parking allowance in Ashland where you can only go 10% over your required parking. So I think technically there might be an issue with that space.
I think it would look better without it.
Okay, well, we can make a recommendation that we would like not to see it. I guess we could ask them that question and see if they intended to do that or not.
Do you want to bring them back in?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll have it resolved. So you heard the question, Kimber and Bob. Were you intending to put a parking space there?
Your mute is on, Kimber. You're muted. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you for bringing us back in. It was on my list and I missed it. You did have a concern about the parking in the front of the house. We have no intention of having parking in front of the house now.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bob, we're not hearing you. You're muted too.
Okay, there we go. So yes, I would agree with Kimber. We would like to not have a parking space near the front. We have shown a 9x19 space toward the rear of the house near that exterior, near that enclosed staircase. So really, that the one in front now, if it's not required, we'd really like to eliminate it.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all.
And I'm doing that as we speak on the plans.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So that clarifies that issue. So I'm going to make a motion to approve the planning action as submitted with the details that we've discussed with them. And I think the most important part of a Frank Clark house is to maintain its integrity. And so any additions, window changes, door changes, material changes, they should all be the same matching plan that is the original. And that we just want to make sure that that's clear. If they want to change materials somewhat on the addition, we're okay with, the freestanding building, we're fine with that. But I think they've responded well to our questions, and very happy that we're not changing that front rail, because I think that's a beautiful detail and a nice proportion. So I would recommend approval with those stipulations. Anybody have any additions to that or questions about that motion? The fact that they're, you know, they're preserving and restoring the Frank Clark House is just wonderful. So we can't ask much more than that. Any other comments? Or do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor, raise your hand. Looks unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on. Thank you, applicants. Nice work. Good project. Good luck.
And those old photos, they originated with Frank Clark.
What about them?
They came from Frank Clark, the old pictures, 1904 images.
Did you send those online, Maria?
No, we, I don't know if we can or we can try. I don't know if if the file is too big. I can try tomorrow.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, next on the agenda is the update on the duplex code amendment. It was in our packet. Has everybody read that and clear about it? It sure gives us a lot of flexibility here in town and simplifies a lot of our work, I guess. I guess everything that's in the historic district we'll continue to look at. Is that true, Maria?
Just as a building permit. So planning approval isn't required anymore for two units on one lot.
So does that mean that we'll see it in the review board?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I have a quick presentation. I know you want to get going, but maybe I'll just cover the first three slides.
That'd be great.
That sound good? So these are the changes in a nutshell. A duplex, and this is required by state law, a new state law that was passed in 2019. A duplex is allowed in all residential zones. The recommendation right now is to define that as two units on one lot in any configuration, either in attached or detached structures. So that's a little different. A lot of times we think of as a duplex as two attached units, whether they're side by side or stacked. This would include anything that's detached also. And that's really because we felt staff is recommending that because sometimes it's a better design solution to not have it attached. You might have trees to work around, something like that. And also we're trying to keep the approval process for two units equitable. When I went to the Housing and Human Services Commission, they mentioned, that they had heard from people that, the planning approval process is the barrier to adding a second unit. There's a significant cost there in time. So we're trying to kind of level the playing field basically for all two units. And that's why it would go to a building permit. No planning approvals required. And duplexes by state law, the most you can require is two off-street parking spaces. And our recommendation at this point is not to allow the use of on-street parking credits.
So does this eliminate the ARU designations?
No. So the state law, they didn't really clean that up. All cities are required to also allow accessory residential units. That passed in 2017. We've been doing it for 30 years, so no problem there. But they didn't really recognize in this last set of changes the overlap between ARUs and duplexes.
So why would anybody build an ARU if they could build a duplex with little or no restriction?
Because for an ARU, you don't have to have any on-site parking. that's a new state law.
Oh, okay. Because the parking has been a hindrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was required in this last package of amendments, and that's what's going to the Planning Commission and eventually the council. We're actually suggesting that ARUs also become a building permit and no planning approvals required. Again, trying to get all configurations of two units on one lot, have an equitable planning process, give them design options. So that in a nutshell is the changes. The thing to keep in mind is state law says you have to treat duplexes as you would a detached single family home in terms of process and approval standards. And as you all know, most single family homes in Ashland outside of physical constraints require just a building permit. So that translates into, in terms of process, we can only require a building permit for a duplex. Now, if they, and that also means historic district standards. So we don't apply historic district standards to detached single family homes unless they're exceeding maximum permitted floor area. So we can't apply them to duplexes unless they're asking to exceed maximum permitted floor area. So everything has to be the same in terms of how you process and apply standards to detached single family homes and to duplexes. So the big change for this commission is you're not going to be looking at planning. If it goes through as drafted, you won't be looking at planning approvals for accessory residential units or duplexes anymore.
So what will we be looking at?
Well, multifamily development, three units or more, still requires a site design review, any commercial development. I mean, this is just in the residential zones. It's not mixed use development. It's not multifamily development. So
basically, and so ARUs are no longer, other than size, is size an issue?
We're keeping the size limits. I should have mentioned that. Okay. So ARUs, the two differences from a duplex will be you have to meet the size requirements and you don't have to have any on-site parking. So if someone's coming in and they want to do two units on a lot, they really have two paths. If they can meet those size requirements, they can do an ARU building permit, they go. If they want to have a bigger unit than's allowed as an accessory residential unit, but two units, then they have to have two on-site parking spaces total, and then they can get a building permit and construct it or convert it.
So if it's an 1,800 square foot house and they wanted a 1,000 square foot duplex, they can't do it under ARU. They have to do it under duplex. It's less than 1,000 square feet. I mean, less than, more than 900 square feet or half the square footage of the existing.
Yeah, in R2 and R3 zones, the multifamily zones, it's capped at 500 uh-huh. square feet. Half the size of the primary residence are 500 square feet. A lot of the historic districts are R2 and R3.
So we're still going to have impervious surface regulations and solar regulations and so on.
Yeah, so you can, the city can continue to apply all the dimensional requirements that are applied to a single family home. So say you have an empty lot in the historic district, and you, whether you wanted to build a single family home, an ARU, or a duplex, you're still actually going to meet the lot coverage. That's the same scenario, setbacks, maximum permitted floor area, solar setback. That gets treated, you know, that doesn't change. So in terms of kind of overall volume of building and lot coverage, that is still regulated like a single family home. I mean, I shouldn't say a single family home. That's just the base of each zone, right? How much lot you can lot you can cover and how far you have to be back from the property lines.
What about design?
Now, we can't, by state law, like I said, we can't apply any design standards that we don't apply to a single family dwelling. So since we don't apply design standards to single-family dwellings, we can't apply them to duplexes.
to have design standards in a historic district, or are they going away?
No, those stay in place, but you can't apply them to a duplex. I mean, state law is very clear on that. It's really prescriptive. It says you can't, you have to treat it like a single family home. But like I said, we have maximum permitted floor area in place. So if someone is asking to exceed that with a duplex, then part of that conditional use permit process is the historic district design standards are applied. But if it's under the maximum permitted floor area and it meets all the other requirements, no.
Yeah, so it seems like we're already with single family residences with a small ARU, we're typically running up against the maximum permitted floor area anyway. So it's only going to get worse, you know, like it would be harder to get a duplex on a lot just because of that maximum permitted area.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, you all know even with a new single family home, people often struggle with lot coverage and setbacks. So if somebody is to do it, it's really forcing smaller size units, I think. And, you know, that's a decision, I guess, based on 30 plus years of accessory residential units in Ashland, we do about an average of 7 a year. And I figured it out once. I think we have over 200 now, but that's like, that's barely 1% of all of our housing units. So I think to kind of keep in mind, it's hard to tell when you put a new provision or opportunity in the ordinance what's going to happen, but I don't know that you'll see a lot of them, you know, immediately, because, you know, as you all know, like converting a structure has its challenges. Not everybody's going to make a personal choice to do something like that or necessarily has the resources. So I'm just judging from the history of accessory residential units, which in some cases are going to look like the same thing as a duplex. You know, we have our fair share, but, you know, 7 a year or so.
I design a fair number of them, and it's challenging, especially in the historic district.
Because of the just the standard dimensional requirements and maximum permitted floor area.
Yeah. Between that and solar, and, you know, there's enough requirements to make it like playing Tetris. You got to fit all the pieces together.
Yeah. So I don't want Dale to miss his birthday dinner. So basically, we just want to update you on the changes and let you know that is going forward. It's supposed to go to the council in June. We have to, by state law, have it adopted by June 30th. So should see if all goes as planned, those rules actually taking effect in July locally. I think you're muted, Dale.
I'm muted because I'm outside and somebody was doing a leaf blower. But I was going to thank you, Maria, for providing the update so we can see what the impact is on what we do going forward. I'm surprised that only 7 a year, though. That really is not adding to the housing market much, is it?
Well, that's an average. That some
years
higher, some are lower.
Yeah.
So, getting on to the historic preservation awards, did we have kind of a format in our last packet? And I don't have that with me right now. That we're gonna, like, a menu or.
We gave you the agenda with some notes about when the commissioners would interject and who would do what.
Okay. We did that last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So So is there any other issues we need to discuss?
I don't think so. I think I don't know if Regan had anything.
I do, you guys. I'm sorry. Something happened with my internet and now I can't get my video back. So I apologize. So I still need somebody to read aloud the Mark Knox blurb. Because Keith will not be here for the awards. So we need somebody to read Mark's. And I don't have anybody assigned to that one. That's the only thing I have.
So who isn't assigned? Or who is assigned?
The only one I don't have assigned is Terry.
Rely on me because I have bad internet. You know, it fades out quite a bit.
So,
I could, if you wanted, I could read it, if that would help.
Read it for
me. Well, let me ask Regan. There's on the 417 Central where Dale and I are both involved. Are we both reading it? One of us would be free.
I thought you were reading it, Beverly.
Oh. So that would free Dale up if he wants, right?
Am I reading another one?
No, I think Piper's reading Tom's. And then I don't think you had any other blurbs to read, Dale. I think Sam's reading his and Bill's reading his. And then the only one that was left over was Keith's.
Okay, so I'll do Mark.
Okay.
That's the chair should do, Mark. That's good.
You recruited me after all. Anything else? I hope not. The train is left without me.
Well, no, you've got 8 minutes.
Okay. So Cinco de Mayo, I'll have a margarita for you.
Sounds good.
Okay, at this point, I'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you, staff.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dale.
Happy birthday.